I am full. I am so blessed just to be able to sing together with y'all. It's good to be here together. And we will continue in worship as the junior hires go to their own message. We'll continue in worship. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, but today we're going to put a pause on that and talk about what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to be unified as his church. And we're going to read from, little mistake there. It's not from Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And we'll pick it up there with verse 4 as you come to him. Let's stand and read this together. Peter, remember, was basically Jesus' lead disciple. And this is many years after the resurrection as the church has grown. Peter is writing to the churches. And here, this letter is to several of the churches. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we do believe in your mercy. We do believe that we can stand before you blameless with great joy because of your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace poured out in the sacrifice of Jesus, that by his blood we are forgiven. And we rise to new life, Lord, and we can worship you with joy, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that you give us deeper understanding of what our purpose in life is, Lord, how we're to move forward, how we're to follow you day after day and week after week until the day you return or take us home. Lord, would you speak to us? Your word is open before us. Give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So Peter says here, we are called to proclaim his excellencies, to be light. Jesus told his disciples, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Does that sound arrogant to believe that? We are called to go and define reality for the world, to shine the light, to say what is true, what is false, what is good, what is evil. Remember when God sent the prophet Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale, he sent him to Nineveh. He said, I'm sending you to a people. Jonah didn't want to go. God said, they don't know their left hand from their right. That's how ignorant they are. And you go and proclaim. And Jonah went and proclaimed, repent. 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people repented. He went and defined reality for them. From their left hand, their right, good, evil, right, wrong. That's what we're called to do. Give you another example. Say someone asks you, hey, I've heard of this great restaurant, Landry's. Have you been there? Yeah, I've been there. It's not bad. It's good. Well, how do I get there? I need to know where you're coming from, right? There's this abiding reality. Are you coming from down in Houston? Are you coming from up north? Are you out in Beaumont? Okay, well, when should I leave? I need to know how far away you are. Where are you? And then I can tell you how to get there. I can tell you the reality of what it means to get there. Someone might say, hey, I've heard of this man, Jesus. I've heard that he is the King of Kings, the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection. How do I come to him? What do we say? Say, well, you listen to his teaching. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Believe the good news of God's love and grace and mercy as it was demonstrated in the cross. But there's something else we need to say. If you're going to come to him, you are going to come to his church. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. If you come to Jesus, you will come to his church. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you're going to fall in love with his church. Remember, like in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word dwelt among us. Literally, the Word tabernacled among us, the tabernacle and then the temple. And Jesus said, tear down this temple. 3 days, I'll rebuild it. All these overlapping analogies. He was the temple. He was the tabernacle. We are his temple. His spirit abides in us. We, when the New Testament talks about us as the temple of God, it's plural. Plural. We are his temple and we're being built up. So I just want to look this morning and say, what does it mean to come to the church? What does it mean to be built up in his body, to be one? And the first thing, by the way, there's some outlines out there if y'all want. Maybe George and Lee Fung can make them available. First thing, we simply want to see the church as the body of believers, right? The body of believers in the truth, in the revealed truth from God. This is what brings us together, is what we believe to be true, right? What we believe is right. That's why we can read this word and say this is our foundation. Now, when we talk about the church as the body of believers, we are talking about a local body like this, New Hope Christian Church Woodlands. We are his church. We are a body of his believers. But we also talk about the church as being universal, the body of all his believers, right? All over the world and for all time. We're reading this letter, we call it 1 Peter, and it's 2,000 years old, but we still say it applies to us because it applies to his church, his universal church. We're a local body of believers, and we are part of his universal church all across the world. There are ranges of purity in his church, right? Some churches can be more pure in doctrine than others, more pure or less pure in governance than others, more pure or less pure in their discipline. You get a really impure church, Jesus said it might just die, right? He might just remove it. How many people have been hurt by the church? Raise a show of hands. How many people have been hurt? You got two hands here. Come on, brother. Yeah, we've all been hurt. Nevertheless, Bible says if we come to Jesus, we come to his church, and we strive to see it built up and strong and healthy and pure. Look at this verse in Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who are these witnesses? Well, in Hebrews 11, it started with Abel, and it talked about Noah, and it talked about Abraham and Jacob. It talked about Moses, talked about King David and Samson and Gideon and all these heroes of the faith, going way back, Old Testament heroes, said, this is part, we're a part of this body, right? And they are, we have this cloud of witnesses. I don't know if they're literally watching from heaven right now, but we have their testimonies. Is that's my people, right? That's who we belong to. That's us. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of God. So, we're a body of believers, and that means we need to be sure we know what we believe. Look at what Peter says immediately before this. As you come to him, you're built up into as living stones, built up into a temple. Before that, he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Stop doing this stuff. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. He says, meditate on this word, study this word, because you're a part of the body of people who believe in this word, right? That's very simple. My father collects stamps. He's collected stamps all his life, ever since he was a boy growing up in San Angelo. Anybody here collect stamps? You collect stamps? Okay. Used to be very popular. It's astonishing to me. He can spend hours just looking at his stamps. Just sitting there. Do you do that? Sitting there studying them. He loves to study his stamps. Maybe comparable to Pokemon cards. Who collects Pokemon cards? Nate. NATO Monster collects them. Jeremiah used to collect them. Just spend hours. We drove up to Dallas to drop off some of Jeremiah's cards. Took a year to get them evaluated. Have you sold them yet? I don't even remember. You can learn to fall in love with studying lots of stuff. I had a good friend, Roger. He'd buy a box of baseball cards, and he could spend Friday night just studying them. You can learn to love calculus or trigonometry or chemistry. You can learn. My older son, Matthew, every time he comes home from college, Pa, you've got to read this book. It's by Hegel. Oh, my goodness. I read half a page, and it's like getting my teeth drilled trying to understand it, right? But he loves it. All right, I'm telling you, and that might sound kind of shallow, but we come to this, and it's not just falling in love with a piece of literature. I mean, there is spirit in this word. My words to you are spirit, they are truth. And we want to love this. We want to learn to love this. We want to make it our ambition. I believe this, Lord. There's parts of it I really don't actually like. Would you give me understanding? Here's every person in the world, right? I have my truth that I believe. And then there's God's truth in his word. And where that overlaps, that's the easy part, right? Oh, there's good and evil in the world. There's beauty and there's ugliness in the world. And yeah, I believe that, sure. But then there's some things in here that I don't really like. Peter talks about those things that he doesn't understand. Peter himself, he'll read Paul's letters. We don't know which one, but Peter talks about, yeah, Paul's letters, he talks about things that are really hard to understand. You can see this fisherman scratching his head. Some of these things we just don't really like. I like some of the beautiful stuff. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil nor spin, but God dresses them in finer glory than Solomon had. I love some of that teaching. Some of the other stuff, stuff about, I'm not sure I like what it says about creation, about marriage, about sanctity of life, about hell. It teaches about hell in here. Jesus talked about Satan. I don't really like that stuff. But if I'm following Jesus and I'm part of the body of believers, I'm going to meditate on this word until I get understanding. Look at, here's from Psalm 119. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Lord, I don't understand it. Would you give me understanding? Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I delight in it, but I still need you to make me walk in it. Because the tendency of my heart is to walk somewhere else. I know this is good. I know it's beautiful. But, Lord, make me walk in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, not to dishonest gain. My heart is inclined to make compromises. My heart is inclined to take the easy way out. Lord, would you incline my heart away from dishonest gain? Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. If I'm left on my own, even if I delight in God's word, my eyes are still going to look at vain things. Establish your word to your servant. Is that what produces reverence for you? This is a good prayer. This is a wise prayer for any of us. This is prayed by, this is for, particularly for young men and women, right? It's 176 verses. It'll calm down your passions. You just pray. I mean, that's, we can do that. It's like, how do I fall in love with God's word? We go in the closet, close the door, get on your knees, say, Lord, give me understanding and make me walk and incline my heart to this. I know it's good, but I'm carrying around this body of death. Sometimes we might just have to completely start over what we believe. The church is, in a sense, called time out a couple of times and started over. Martin Luther looked around, saw so much corruption, so much dishonest gain in God's church. He said, time out. Look at what this word says. He didn't do it like real deliberately. They gave him a job. They said, hey, teach the book of Romans, right? He's a monk in the church, right? He started teaching the book of Romans, and he got to it, and he said, I've never heard this before. This is profound. And he told the entire church, said, time out. We live by faith alone, in Christ alone, in his mercy, his grace alone. It's not good works I can do to get there. My wife, Melissa, had the same experience. She grew up her whole life going to church, very, very religious, very strict, every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday to Bible study. She got to college, said, God, I'm done, no more. I'm just, thanks, but no thanks. She's a people pleaser. So when someone asked her, at one of those student fairs, would you like to join a Bible study? Or would you like to hear more about our organization? She said, okay, sure. She's a people pleaser. So a woman called her up. Hey, I'd like to meet with you and talk about your faith. She said, okay. She made an appointment, and then she didn't show up. Very similar to Isabel's testimony. Woman called her the next week. Melissa said, okay, I'll meet you here at this time. She didn't show up. Third week, fourth week, fifth week, sixth week, 7 weeks. Melissa said, got to get this woman off my back. She finally showed up. The woman showed her Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. By grace we're saved through faith, not as a result of works that no one should boast. We are his workmanship. And Jesus said, is that really in the Bible? She had a tract. Said, yes. She opened her Bible and showed it to her. She said, I've never heard that before. She put her faith in Christ. Went to church, said, what can I do? You're an English major. Well, why don't you teach some ESL to some Chinese students? A few years later, I met her in Hong Kong. glorious, thankful for God's amazing ways. Okay. Sometimes we have to just start over, but we keep praying this as God's people, his body of believers. Okay. The second thing, there's telling you three things about the church. One, we're the body of believers. We make sure we know what we believe, and we study this and meditate on it and talk about it. Second thing is the church is the bride that Christ died for and that he lives to make intercession for. He's able to save to the uttermost, not just save a little bit, but save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. In the book of Revelation, about the end times, Jesus is completely focused on his churches, walking among the lampstands, walking among his churches. He's writing letters to his churches saying, you're doing this well, you can do this better. He's a bridegroom who's basically obsessed with his bride. He's totally focused on his bride. He's praying for his bride, making intercession for us constantly. So we as his people, we say, man, these Christians they're hard to love, right? It's hard to love one another. It's really difficult. But this is what we are called to do. We're called to pray for one another, love one another, just like Jesus did. Again, in the book of Revelation, this is a drawing it gives of the temple of God coming down out of heaven. Now, the gates of the temple have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Levi, Judah, Simeon, all those guys. Their names are on the 12 gates. What's on the 12 foundation stones below the gates? What's there? The 12 disciples, right? So again, another illustration about how we are one body, right? Going all the way back thousands of years, those guys, what they were believing, what they were hoping in, was the testimony of the future, of what God would do, how the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world. So we want to love his church, pray for his church. And that's very, very countercultural. Here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be countercultural and loving God's church. Culture says, put yourself first. Countercultural, as Christians coming to his church, we're to put up with the failings of others. We who are strong should put up with the failings of the weak, because we love his church. It's not because this person deserves it. Not because they've earned it. It's not because they're a nice... No, it's because I love Jesus. And I'll outdo yourself in work for leisure. Whatever it takes to make your dreams come true. Pursue your dreams. Fulfill your happiness. Outdo one another in showing honor to each other. Yeah, not because anybody deserves it, because this is Jesus' bride. He loves his church. He died for his church, intercedes for his church. Seek good for yourself. Let no one seek his own good. Seek the good of others. This requires a lot of patience and mercy and compassion that can only come from God. Do you guys count your likes on TikTok or Facebook? Patrick, how often do you count your likes? Okay. Do people like it? Count others as more significant than yourself, right? This attitude, which was also in Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Didn't regard, but he emptied himself, made himself a servant, humbled himself, even to the point of death, and others. So as we come to the church as living stones, this is what the Bible calls us to do. Let's see, one more. It'll be number one. Crucify yourself. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The Son of God who loved me gave himself for me. We're a body of believers. We make sure we know what we believe. And then by discipline and out of love for God, we love his church. We bear with his church. We seek to build up. We rejoice. You're a chosen race, verse 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Okay, there's a third thing I want to understand about the church and about defining reality. What is true in life? The church is the body that you were created for, the body you were created to be a part of from eternity past. Human beings, we have a few basic needs, right? What are some of our most basic needs? We need food. We need water. We need shelter. Ezra, we need earbuds, right? I have to sing. We're going to sing. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, we have to have Wi-Fi. We have to be able to sing. We're going to sing. We're going to praise. We have to have community. It's so basic to us. It's so deep in it. We have to belong to a team, to a community, to a body. That's what we were created for. We're created in the image of God. He's unity and diversity in his nature. We were created to be part of something much bigger, more beautiful than anything we could do on our own. When I first went to UT Austin as a freshman, I signed up. I was in aerospace engineering. I liked working on cars. But oh, I'll like working on rockets or airplanes. Didn't last very long at all. By the end of my second semester, I'm like, yeah. I switched to business. I didn't like business. Like, I failed accounting. But this is the, I don't get it. I switched to history. I love history. I thought, I'm going to have a tough time getting a job. And then I started working at the school paper, the Daily Texan. And wow, I found my team. I found the community I belonged to, and I loved it. And I started working there constantly. Here's the editorial team. Later on, they played a joke on me. I wasn't looking at the camera. That was just the editorial team out of all the different teams. But like I started just pouring my heart into the work, and I loved it. I was part of this body. You know what that's like. To become a part of a team. When we went to China back in 2012, for a while taught at Nanjing University Science Technology, it was okay. But then found another team. Oh wait, here's our church. We found a church. That's the worship team for Holy Word Church Nanjing, which was actually 50% Chinese and 50%. Foreigners, our worship team, most of them were from Ghana, and our piano player there is from Congo. You remember, Jeremiah? How awesome. We loved our church, right? And it changed everything for us. And I said, I got to be part of this. And I had to quit my job for the university because they couldn't have a professor be part of a church or a teacher. So I found another team, Nanjing Echo International School. I was principal, and these are the main teachers for the high school. You know what it's like to be part of a team. Well, you were created for that. It's so basic to our nature. Peter's telling us you were born. This is what you were created for, to be part of God's people, to have a role to serve in his church. And it can take a lot of work. We're being built up. Iron sharpens iron. One hand washes the other. But he says we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We've received mercy. By the way, in Revelation, it talks about his church coming together. We are one nation. We are one people, but there's still great diversity. There's every indication that in heaven, we will still have national identity. We'll still be known as Malaysian, as Chinese, as Texan, right? There's even going to be some Aggies in heaven, right? What is your role? What are you called to do in the church? You come and talk to us. We'll find a place for you to serve. So the psalmist says, Psalm 84, I would rather be a doorkeeper, a house of my God, than dwell in the tents of wickedness. If my job is simply to stand to the door, to keep the door, it's a blessing, it's a privilege, it's an honor. I'm playing a role in Christ's body, in his church. That's who we are. We're getting more organized, and over the next month we'll be kind of posting who the various leaders are in our church, in the English congregation, making it very clear, showing how you can get involved, right? Who you talk to if you want to get involved in one area or another. So we'll be publishing that soon. Just want to let you know, you're scratching your head saying, well, I guess I'd like to be involved. We'll be making that clear to you, the pipeline for getting involved in various aspects of serving together as his people. This is what we were created to do and to be a part of. And so we just as we pray in Psalm 119, Lord, give me understanding and incline my heart and make me walk. We want to pray for one another in the same way. We can pray for each other. We can say things to God in private that we wouldn't say to one another publicly. We say, Lord, just you help this person to be more humble or to be more generous or kind or forgiving. We can pray that to God, because we want to see his church blessed. And then we can get involved and serve. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you that you make it clear you desire us to be healthy and strong and fruitful. You desire us to proclaim your glory. Lord Jesus, I think of how you prayed the night before you were arrested. Said, Lord, make them one. That this is how the world will know that you came from God, is because we are unified. We have love for one another. We bear with one another and pray for one another and encourage one another, serve one another, desire to see each other blessed. Lord, pray we could manifest that prayer, Lord, in our midst. Pray you be glorified, Lord, in a bilingual, multicultural church, Lord. We can proclaim your goodness. But we know Satan will want to divide and destroy and attack. Lord, give us wisdom to be alert to his schemes, Lord, to divide us. Let us press on together, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for this call, this promise. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.